Hello, welcome back. Thanks for staying tuned to Hard Factor Nigeria Info and Herring Pot Harker Time Diet. It's 9 minutes come past 5 p.m. Conversation continues on your number one talk station. Today is World Contraception Day, just in case you did not know. World Contraception Day, and something regarding this featured on our news earlier on today. River State Family Planning Advocacy Group says family planning methods do not cause infertility. Secretary for the River State Family Planning Advocacy Group, Helen Odega, said this in an interview with our correspondent as the world marks Contraception Day. Helen Odega also advised religiously inclined parents to be more open to their sexually active children on family planning methods. Let's take a listen once again to what Helen Odega had to say to our correspondent on the matter.
They need to embrace their truth. So if you know that your child is already sexually active, the wisest thing to do would be to encourage the child to take up a family planning method. Now, if that child is less than 18 years, you as a parent will need to provide consent to the health service provider for that child to take up a family planning method. Because if a young person is sexually active, the chances of getting pregnant is very high. Or the chances of a teenage boy impregnating a woman is also very high. Why don't you allow them to access family planning? That way, it will be better to prevent an unintended pregnancy than to go ahead and procure an abortion.
On the day, World Contraception Day is marked September 26th every year, and the theme for this year's commemoration is Bursting the Myths. Bursting the Myths. Let's talk about this for a bit. I'm asking you, however, are contraceptives or is contraception something to be scared of? Let's get your take via Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. Leave a comment there. We'll get to it shortly. But joining me in the studio for the moment for this conversation is Helen Odega, Secretary, River State Family Planning Advocacy Group. Helen, good evening to you. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Thank you, Dario. Good evening. And good evening to our listeners.
Let's start with contraceptives. Or contraception. I believe contraception is the concept. Contraceptives aid contraception. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So what purpose or purposes precisely does contraception or do contraceptives serve?
Okay. Primarily, they serve to help control the number of pregnancies that a woman would have. And then for women who also want to limit having children, so you're done having kids, you don't want to have children anymore, contraceptives play a role. And then to space your childbirth too, contraceptives play a role. And then to delay pregnancy, contraceptives play a role. So they basically help to condition time of pregnancy, and then how many children a woman can have, you know, in her lifetime.
So if I'm to take what you just said, contraception is primarily or even strictly about childbirth. It's about limiting childbirth, it's about preventing childbirth, or spacing childbirth.
Yes.
So basically about childbirth.
Yes.
We'll explore that in some detail in a moment. However, whenever contraceptives are talked about ever so often, you also hear about prevention of not just childbirth, but even the spreading of sexually transmitted diseases. Is that a purpose for contraception or contraceptives, as it were?
Well, say contraceptives do not act to prevent STIs, diseases, or sexually transmitted infections. The only known contraceptive that has a dual function is the condoms. So the male and the female condoms serve dual protection in the sense that they prevent pregnancy, and at the same time, if they are used correctly and consistently, they can also prevent sexually transmitted infections. But other forms of contraception do not prevent STIs. So if you're using any form of contraceptive, it doesn't protect you from contracting a sexually transmitted infection unless you're using a condom. It's only a condom that, if it is used correctly, my emphasis is on correct use and consistent use, that is when it can protect against sexually transmitted infections.
So I guess that could be one of the myths as well, as far as contraception is concerned. I believe we will get to the myths at some point in this conversation.
Yes.
Is contraception, is it safe? Or are contraception safe?
Oh yeah, very well. contraceptives are safe. Yeah, one very common misconception that people have about contraceptives is that it can limit your fertility, which is not true. So contraceptives are very safe if you take up these services from a trained service provider. We know that a lot of people practice what you call quackery. But when you go to a health facility where you have trained service providers and they provide contraceptives to the person, the chances of having any complications is very limited. So it's always advisable that people don't just decide on their own that they want to use a form of contraception, especially if it is not the common condoms. If it is any other form of contraceptive, it's advisable that people go and access it from a health facility where you have trained service providers to rule out the possibility of having any complications afterwards. So they are safe. They are safe if you access them from the right source.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, I just got a feeling that maybe I may have assumed too much that, okay, you know, everyone knows what the distinction is, but maybe I shouldn't assume.
Okay.
So could you help with the distinction of what's the difference? What's the distinction between contraception and contraceptives?
Okay, contraceptive is a commodity itself. So you have different kinds of contraceptives. So the commodity itself, the product itself that actually helps prevent pregnancy, no matter what the aim is in terms of preventing the pregnancy. So the product itself, well, contraception is the process, is the act of preventing pregnancy.
Mm.
Yeah, so this way.
I think that's clear enough. So what are the different kinds of forms of contraceptives that we have?
Okay, so the available forms of contraceptive are divided into three. The first, which are the short-acting contraceptives, and then the second group, which are the long-acting reversible contraceptives, and then the permanent methods. So I'll start with the short-acting contraceptives. So you have something like the pills, the oral pills that women get to take at a particular time every month. And then you have the condoms, which is very common, both male and females can use it. Then you also have the injectables, which women take every 2 to 3 months, and they can take it as early as up to 48 hours after pregnancy or after they've given birth. So that's injectables is there. Then when you come to the long acting reversible contraception, you have the ones that they call the intrauterine device. So that one can stay in a woman's body for up to 5 to 10 years and protect her from, you know, any unintended pregnancy. And then you also have the one that they implant into a woman's arm, which can give her protection for between 3 to 5 years. So that one's commonly called an implant. So you have, those are long acting in the sense that they can stay more than 3 years in a woman's body, giving her adequate protection, provided she follows all the recommendations from her service provider. And then you have the permanent methods. So for men, basically, they have just two methods, a permanent method and one temporary method. So amongst the permanent methods, you have the bilateral tubal ligation, which is for women where their fallopian tubes are tied. So it's a permanent method, so it's irreversible. If a woman takes up a BTL, which is a bilateral tubal ligation, she can only have get pregnant through IVF. You can no longer have like a normal pregnancy, like normal conception. Yeah. So then for the men, we have the vasectomy, which is also permanent. So that method is often recommended where the man's partner, the wife, is not able to take up any method of family planning because there are a lot of health factors that are considered before any method of family planning is recommended for a woman. So if a woman has been assessed and she's not eligible to take up any method, then it's advised, you know, especially when they have attained their desired family size, then it's advised that, okay, you can go for it. But it's not very common in this climb, but those are the methods that are available. And then there is also the common one, which is an emergency contraception, but it is not, that's for the women now, it is not an evidence, it's not recommended to take it up as a long-term method of of contraception, which is, they call it the emergency contraception. I don't want to mention any brand name here, but it's a very, there are very common brands for emergency contraception. Those ones are emergency contraceptives. They are not intended for long use. As a matter of fact, a woman is not expected to take it more than twice in a month. Yeah, so I needed to correct an impression that some people have, that that's a form of family planning. It is not a family planning. It's often given to women, especially cases where they've been non-consensual sex, just to make sure that the woman doesn't end up pregnant. So they give her that emergency contraception, amongst other reasons. But it's not a method of family planning. Then you also have the withdrawal method, which men are used to, but it's not a method. It's not an evidence-based method of family planning, because it fails, the failure rate is very high. So some men tell you that's what they do, but it is not recommended, I mean, withdrawal for men. So those two, withdrawal and emergency contraceptives, are not recommended family planning methods. Mm. Yeah.
All right, so from your response so far, you've answered in some sense what I was going to ask next as to who can use contraceptives. So from what you said, men can use...
Yes, men can use them. Women
can use as well.
Men are limited to just two, yeah. So either they use a condom or a vasectomy.
Should children learn about contraceptives?
Children, so when you say children, there is an age for sexual maturity, which is puberty. So once a child hits an age of sexual maturity, a child has attained puberty, it's important to begin to talk to these children about sexual initiation, contraception. So by talking to them, you're giving them knowledge, you're making sure that they have accurate information about these things. You're not necessarily telling them to go and take up a family planning method, because the emphasis for young people, especially teenagers who just attained sexual maturity, is the emphasis is always on abstinence. So you teach them about abstinence, you teach them skills that they can use to ensure that they're able to abstain, because a lot of skills, you talk about refusal skills, negotiation skills, how to relate with members of the opposite sex. So it's expedient that you give them accurate information on these things. But then when you find that a young person, say a 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 15-year-old, has become sexually active, maybe due to the fact that they were not properly informed and all, then it is advisable that such a child takes up a family planning method. Now, there are methods that a young boy, like I said before, boys, basically it's condoms. So if a young boy is already sexually active, I mean, the correct thing would be to encourage that young man to use a condom and use it consistently. So if you cannot abstain and you're having sex, a lot of parents, a lot of people shy away from the fact that these things are happening. So they think, oh, it's not true, a young person. But you go on social media, you see videos of young people taking up, indulging in sexual activity. So you cannot say, oh, they are not sexually active, or you pretend that they are not sexually active, and then you don't give them the accurate information. As long as you've established that this child, this young person, is already sexually active, yes, you should encourage them to take up a family plan method.
What is the age of sexual maturity? And even upon determining or discovering that a child is sexually active, should the role of the parents or guardians not be to discourage that child from continuing? Might exposing that child to contraception or contraceptives not be
encouraging them?
An encouragement or a go-ahead, just stay safe?
Well, Dial, the truth is that, first of all, to answer the first question, which is age of sexual maturity. So according to the World Health Organization, a young person between the age of 10 and 19, you know, is one who is going through adolescence. And adolescence is a period of sexual maturity. So that is when the sexual organs begin to develop. You know, for female, they have their peculiar characteristics. And the boys, they also have their peculiar characteristics. And when these teenagers indulge in sexual activities at that age, they are likely to, the girl is likely to get pregnant, and the boy is likely to impregnate, you know, a girl. So that's the age once they attain puberty. Now, the right thing is for parents and caregivers to encourage their young ones, their adolescents, to abstain from sexual intercourse so that they are able to focus on their academics and focus on other areas of their personal development. But you find a lot of lackadaisical attitude among parents and caregivers. They just act like these things don't exist. And these young persons are not given the adequate information. And then they learn these things, you know, from peers and friends. And
could you hold that thought, okay, please? We have to go for a commercial break now. Right. We've got questions continue afterwards. It's World Contraception Day today.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the Hard Facts to Nigeria Info here in Port Harcourt. I'm Dai. We've got 28 minutes to go before 6 p.m. Discussions continue with my guest here in the studio. It is World Contraception Day today. And I'm asking you once again, are contraceptives something to be scared of? If the words of my guests in the studio are anything to go by, the answer is no. I'd like to get your take still via Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. The lines the numbers to call will be given out in a moment. My guest, however, is still here. Helen Odega is Secretary, River State Family Planning Advocacy Group. Helen, you're welcome once again.
Thank you very much.
Before the break, you were responding to my question as to the first part of the question was the age of sexual maturity. You did give a response to that. The second part of it, even when parents do find out, as often does happen, the child is already sexually active before the parents become aware or guardian. So upon finding out, should the position not be ended because talking to the child about contraception or contraceptives might be opening the door for the child to go ahead and explore? And you were responding to that.
Yeah, and before I respond, let me ask, how can you measure that the child has actually stopped it? Can you tell can you be certain that the child whom you have told to stop it has stopped it? Is it possible? Are you going to put a camera on the child to know whether this child has actually stopped, you know, this thing? You know how addictive sexual intercourse can be and how pleasurable it can be, especially for young people whose hormones are already raging. So if it's better to delay the onset of sexual, you know, to delay sexual initiation in the first place, it's better to delay sexual debut than to allow the child to get into it and then try to manipulate the child from stopping. Because it takes a personal decision, will, and knowledge to be able to take a decision to, you know, end sexual intercourse that has already started to take place.
Pardon me. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So, when you notice, rather than lie to yourself to say, okay, I've spoken to my child and this child is going to stop, why don't you take measures, you know, put measures in place to ensure that this child does not end up, you know, with some infection or even some form of morbidity from trying to procure an abortion. Even the child, that young person can also even lose their life in the process of trying to procure an abortion. The consequences of not being on contraception are dire compared to, you know, being on contraception. So, and also being on contraception would not stop that parent or caregiver from further educating that child to stop. So you can say, yeah, This is an option that is available for you, but I would love for you to stop completely or delay it until you are married or until you're in a committed relationship. But since you cannot guarantee that instruction you've given is going to be strictly adhered to, you can encourage that young person to take up a family, especially if it's a boy child. You can use a condom, but it will be best. So you can put a conversation like this. So yeah, I noticed that you've already started having sexual intercourse with the young girls. And these are the implications of having sexual intercourse at your age. Are you ready to be a father if this child, this young lady becomes pregnant? Are you ready to deal with the consequences of contracting sexually transmitted infections? Do you know that when you contract a sexually transmitted infection, it could destroy your chances of having a, becoming a father someday in the future? You could also contract HIV, which is not, as of today, it's not curable. You know, give them facts, you know, to make them understand the consequences of their action. But then when, after you've provided all these facts, and then, you know, you see that you've not been able to elicit some form of behavioral change, or you've not gotten a commitment that this person is going to change, then you can also add. So if you're struggling with this, because I think it's all about how you approach the subject with these young people. So you can say, if you're struggling with this, you can consider using a family planning method just to protect yourself, but it will be better for you to stop it completely. Yeah.
This conversation, when is the best time to have it? Before a child becomes sexually active, or after observing the child is sexually active?
You see, that this is why I said there's a lot of responsibility with the parents and caregivers. You begin this conversation very early. As a matter of fact, you begin conversations around sex and sexuality with a young, with a person from age.
Pardon me. How about the concern that the conversation might cause them to become curious about it? And if you say nothing and pretend it doesn't exist, mm-hmm. it doesn't come up, you know, thinking about it, mm-hmm. nobody sees anything, say no evil, and evil will not come. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, what do you say to that?
Oh, well, I think that's also one misconception that people have, that when you give the accurate information, then you expose the child to the knowledge, and then the child will now want to explore. It is better that that information comes from you, and that you're providing an accurate information to that child, because whether you like it or not, these children are going to get this information from somewhere else. As a matter of fact, as a parent, you are supposed to begin the conversations around sex and sexuality from the age 2. In fact, they say some scientists say from age 18 months. Now, there are specific words and language you use for different age category. At age 2, you are teaching the child about their body parts. This is your hand, this is your skin, this is your vagina, this is your penis. Like, you are using, you are giving, telling them things, you are making them aware of the different parts of their body. Your eyes, this is your eyes, your home, using a language that they can understand at that age. Then when they move from age 2 to age 5, you begin to talk more in depthly about their other body parts. So you start to talk about, this is you need to have like a slang where you reinforce learning with this child. You say, this is your little secret. No one is supposed to go there. Anyone goes there, you talk to your mommy, you talk to your daddy. You know, there are some age appropriate languages and terms that are used to communicate sex and sexuality education to young people, and you need to start it early. By the time the child gets to puberty, then you now begin to go more in depth. Now, I say puberty, not when the child starts to explore sex. By the time you see that the sexual characteristics are beginning to develop in the child, the boy is beginning to grow hairs, his voice is changing, the girl's breast is developing, she has attained the menarche and all. At that point, you begin to go more in-depth into the consequences of sexual initiation. You begin to tell them more about sex, more about everything they need to know with the accurate information. So the parents, even in the first place, need to be adequately informed, you know, to be able to pass on this information to the young people. So there are different...
Talking about information, by the way, join the conversation. The lines are officially open, 0817-93-0002 or 0003 or 0007. My next two questions are going to merge into one.
Okay.
Do contraceptives have any downsides to them? And that takes us into the myths of contraceptives as well. And especially as I have two comments via Facebook, okay, I'd echo these questions or concerns as well. Upabi Onwukwe goes, to a person that's never... born babies, you know, it should be scared. They should be scared of it, because most of married girls that do contraceptives find it hard to conceive. Manny Patrick also goes, It's not advisable because some find it difficult to conceive after marriage due to long intake of it.
Yeah, so that's a very common misconception anyway. So family planning contraceptives do not cause infertility. So if a person has been on contraceptives for a very long time, of course it will take the body some time to readjust. So if you've been on a long acting contraceptive for about 5 years and you're now ready to start having children, you can, if you know you want to start, let me say in January, for instance, you can give yourself some time from 6 months to when you're ready, you can take it off. So that by taking it off earlier, you give your body the opportunity to begin to readjust itself to the normal hormones, you know, hormonal flow in your body, and then your normal fertility will return. Now, everyone would not have their fertility return immediately at the same time. You know, just because this Mrs. A took off hers and got pregnant immediately, it does not mean that Mrs. B will take off hers and she will get pregnant immediately. So everyone's body reacts differently. But there is no scientific evidence to show that contraception or contraceptives cause infertility. There's been a lot of studies documented around that, and there's nothing like that.
Are there any downsides to contraceptives
Some people do have some side effects. So some tell you, oh, they're nauseous. Some tell you that it makes their menstrual flow heavier. Some tell you that it makes them to gain weight and all that. Even the fact that someone gains weight is not, there's no significant relationship between gaining weight and contraceptive use, because there are a lot of other confounding variables that can make, you know, one arrive at the conclusion that, oh, I gained weight because of contraceptives. Now, a lot, when it comes to gaining weight, you talk about lifestyle issues, yeah? So how often does the person exercise? What kind of foods is this person eating? You know, what's basically their lifestyle? And then are there other health conditions that may predispose this person to gaining weight? So it's not necessarily that just because this person is using a contraceptive method, you know, then it's automatically, because there are a lot of people who are very fit in terms of their body size and they are on contraceptives. So there's no scientific basis, you know, linking contraceptive use to some of these myths and misconceptions. So everyone's experiences will be different, definitely. And then when it comes to infertility, especially there's a study I was privy to go through where the study examined women who were on contraceptives and the prevalence of chlamydia infection amongst women who were using specifically IUD. Now, the study found that the majority of the persons who had infections had multiple sexual partners. Remember I said earlier, when you're using contraception, it doesn't prevent you from having a sexually transmitted infection. Now, in that study, the most prevalent sexually transmitted infection amongst the women that were studied was a chlamydia infection, which is linked to pelvic inflammatory disease. And when someone has a pelvic inflammatory disease, the chances of having infertility is very high. Yeah, so now, when someone is having multiple sexual partners and you're using contraception, like you're using IUD, for instance, you're going to expose yourself to having infection, which could eventually block the person's tube, and then the person starts to say, oh, I had family planning on, and then I'm now infertile. But then there was an infection in the first place. So family planning does not cause infertility, and there's evidence to show that there is no significant relationship between the use of contraceptives and infertility.
And then we have to wrap up the conversation. Many thanks for listening. My guest who's joined the conversation on World Contraception Day today, Ellen Odedega, is Secretary, River State Family Planning Advocacy Group. Ellen, many thanks for your time.
Thank you so much, Daya. Thank you.